the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So let's talk about all issues from the United States with Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. And Cal, Donald Trump is in Istanbul for a NATO meeting. And he's at it again about Greenland. He says it's surrounded by Chinese and Russian ships, which it isn't, but also that it should be an important part of the United States. Should we just be ignoring this as just the usual old guff?
Yeah, I think so, probably, Matt. I mean, we've been through this before, all the arguments for and against making Greenland the 51st state and all these other crazy things. I don't know why he's going back to that. I don't know why he's going back to criticizing NATO again. I mean, this would be like insulting you before I have dinner at your house. It is so unnecessary and so juvenile. He has done a good thing in getting some of the most of the NATO nations to increase their defense spending. Now, that's been a good thing. But he also goes around attacking Prime Minister Meloni of Italy. She used to be his darling. He said that she served longer probably than any other modern prime minister of Italy. And he was praising her until he claimed that she begged him for a picture. And she said, "I did not beg him for a picture. I don't beg anybody." And then all of a sudden, when you disagree with Trump, she got on the bad list. I mean, it's just more of the crazy stuff, Matt.
Of course, Marion, it's not just that. Then there was a manufactured picture to make it look like she was looking up adoringly at him. Although you actually look at the angle, it looks like she's looking way above his head and thinking, "What the hell am I doing here?" But tell us a little bit about this. I mean, what is he playing at in alienating her?
Well, you know, it's as Cal said there. Like, it's ridiculous, juvenile stuff. His latest missive against her, which was preempted before he left for Turkey, was to put up a post to say restraining order needed. I'm paraphrasing there. Something that he'd have to get a restraining order against her because she was akin to a crazed stalker. I think we were supposed to believe that she was so infatuated with him because it does look as if she is looking up. Now, I have seen images of her looking at Trump with clear admiration, and I've seen images of them both where they've been very engaged with each other and appear to have quite liked each other. But again, that goes back to before she refused to allow him to use Italian bases for the war in Iran. And then that's when things soured, and then soured further, as Cal pointed out, when she hit back hard after he had suggested that she had begged to have her photograph taken with him. And they really got into it then. And of course, Trump being Trump, he can't let it go. The dinner that's happening tonight in Turkey is already underway, probably. She will be arriving late for it. It's not clear that she'll attend this dinner, but certainly Trump seems to have received a very warm welcome from Erdogan, although the two of them, when they were walking down the turquoise carpet, they looked like two old drunks coming out of a bar. They were staggering all over the place. But I think that this is, you know, it's all Trump has to do to get in and out of here is take the win. NATO has already upped its spending dramatically. It's promising to do more. And, you know, he just has to agree that they have improved. He can take the credit for it as much as he wants and just move on. This thing about Greenland is ludicrous. The fact that he's probably going to threaten again to leave NATO or whatever.
He's also threatening Iran again, Marion.
And is threatening Iran again, exactly. I think there's just, with somebody who's so volatile, so unpredictable, and so manifestly unsuited to this role, particularly as a wartime president, I think there's a lot of justifiable concern around this summit and what will happen over the next couple of days. And I suppose only time will tell, really. He is always unpredictable.
Of course, Cal, Marion there said about taking the win. I think he certainly wanted the United States football team to win against Belgium last night. But there's a strong argument that he managed to rile the Belgians up with the antics in relation to getting a suspension lifted for America's star striker Balogun, that it basically it galvanised a Belgian team that hadn't been up to much in the World Cup to be far, far better last night and far, far too good for the United States. Yeah. What do you make of the sort of the embarrassment that has been and the outrage internationally at this interference in a sporting competition by your president?
Yeah, well, I think it was a bad move. He claims he was just inquiring about it, but nobody believes that. Look, I have several things to say about this. First of all, the United States soccer team, football, is relatively new compared to the rest of the world, Europe and South America and Asia, where it has been a major sport, in many cases, the dominant sport for years. We're just kind of catching up with this. And the fact that the United States made it this far toward the World Cup, I think, has a lot to say for the team. Now, one of the star players, of course, had a calf injury. He had 11 balls stolen from him during the thing. It was very, very disturbing. But then you get back to this this initial red card call. And I've looked at that film, and you probably have too, Matt, over and over again. It was the slightest and incidental stepping on one of the other players' feet. And other even worse encounters were not even called. So I don't like the red card thing at all. I like what we do in our hockey. We have a penalty box, and somebody who has committed a penalty goes there for 2 minutes or 5 minutes and then gets back on the ice again. This whole idea of banning somebody for a whole game or two because of a foul in a very, very, well, what's turned out to be a contact sport, I think they ought to change the rules for that. But Trump should have stayed out of it.
See, Cal, I have to say to you, this is typical now American thing. You come late to a sport that everybody else enjoys around the world, and we know our rules, and because Americans don't get it or don't like it, you tell us to change our rules.
Well, you may be right, but, you know, I have an opinion on that, just as you do for the Irish team not making it at all. So, I mean, we all have our opinions on it. They're not going to listen to us on this, but I think, the American team performed very well. The fact that they did so poorly last night, every team does that from time to time. But I think they'll come back whenever the next World Cup is, and I hope they'll do even better. Meanwhile, I'm a soccer fan.
Well, you should have become a soccer fan a long time ago, which our women's team has been excellent and has some excellent players. And even though they came to it late, they have become a globally dominant team in the sport. I suppose the issue, Cal, really, and maybe I'll go to Marion on this, is the issue isn't, you know, yes, people complain about the way the rules are implemented, but the rules are the rules, and they don't get changed in the middle of a tournament to suit the hosts because the president of the host country gets in touch with the tournament organisers to make a suggestion. Marion?
That's for me. Okay. You know, I was just going to come in there, Matt, and talk about and say to Cal, you're forgetting all about your fantastic women's team who won the World Cup an unprecedented four times. They won it 4 years in a row and under the captainship of Megan Rapinoe, one of the greatest soccer players of all time. They won in 2015 and 2019 back to back. So you have terrific football players in America. It just so happens that they're women and nobody seems to be paying a whole lot of attention to them at the moment. But I think, yeah, you know what? You can't come in, especially Trump, you know, who probably couldn't tell one end of a soccer ball from another. And I know there are not ends.
There aren't ends from a soccer ball the other, Marion. You really are not doing yourself much favour here with that.
But I think that is not a great metaphor. I will give you that. But Trump, who I would say knows precious little or knew precious little about it, to come in like that. The rules were the same rules they had for all of the other tournaments, I assume, more or less. And, you know, if you want them to change and take it up at the end and have them change for the next World Cup, don't try and change them to suit yourself in mid-tournament. It just reeks of cheating and being the bully and, you know, all the rest of it. All of the images about America that you don't want. And it does seem that America, despite all of the dire predictions, has had quite some success in hosting this World Cup after all, that a lot of people look like they're having a lot of fun and it seems to be going pretty well. But when you lose, you lose. And you know what? Just leave it alone.
OK, let's move on to other things. Let's move on, Cal, to the case of a fellow called Graham Platner, who the Democrats were pushing very much for the elections in Maine later this year. But it looks like he's going to have to be dropped from the ticket because of very serious sexual assault allegations, which in some respects are not a surprise given some of the things we've heard about him over recent months. Tell us about him.
Well, this is the great mystery, Matt. A lot of these things were known before he won the Democratic nomination for the election to the Senate in Maine. Now, this latest woman is has said that she is a liberal, that she's a Democrat, and she claims that Plattner sexually assaulted her. He denies it in a video. He says any sex that he had was consensual, but he also was in trouble for sexting women, not his wife, when he was married or is married to his current wife. He said he no longer has a drinking problem. He's got a lot of baggage. And I think, you know, the Democrats are going to lose this one. I think he's going to have to withdraw. He has to withdraw before next week, or his name will remain on the ballot. The state Democrat Party is also has already withheld funding. Ro Khanna, a congressman from California who gave him an early endorsement, has withdrawn his endorsement. A number of Democrats are begging him to get out of the race because they can't afford to lose too many seats if they want to get the Senate majority back.
Okay, what do you make of this, Marion? Why is it that the Democrats were looking to bring forward a guy who seems like a sort of a Trump MAGA Republican?
Look, it was always going this way, and they knew the writing has been on the wall about Graham Plattner for months now, and they should have moved a lot sooner and a lot more quickly on this whole thing. Look, you know, I mean, the guy clearly, yes, I know he's a war veteran. He said he suffered from PTSD. He attributed a lot of his bad behaviours to that, but it was clear from the get-go that he would turn out to be a liability at some point, you know, on a number of fronts. We don't need to go through them all now because we don't have the time, but I think, yeah, the Democrats are in trouble now. I think they will be able to persuade him to get out today or tomorrow, hopefully. There are a couple more people that they can bring in. It's very late in the day to be introducing a new candidate. They're looking at a couple of sort of people who would be well known, a former Secretary of State. There's a guy called Dan Kleben who owns a beer company who apparently is quite well known as well, has the same kind of populist stuff as Plattner did, which went down really well there. But it's very late in the day. Now, it is a small state, Maine. It's a very independent kind of prickly state. They don't like to be told what to do by anyone, much less Democratic, you know, sort of overlords in Washington, D.C. So we'll see. They made a terrible choice with Janet Mills. That was Chuck Schumer's big idea. So let's see what happens here. Susan Collins has been winning races in Maine for 30 years now. She's a Republican senator. It may be that they're so, you know, there's such a backlash against Trump at the moment everywhere. She may fall victim to that. But I think they would have needed a very, very good campaign from the outset to get rid of her. And I don't know if they can do it at this late stage.
And finally, Cal, the veteran Republican Mitch McConnell, who had been such an important figure in the Republican Party for many years, has been hospitalized apparently for about 3 weeks for reasons not disclosed, giving rise to speculation. Is he actually alive?
Yes, well, that Laura Loomer, who is kind of a loony MAGA type and close to Trump, claims that he is brain dead. Now, the reason they're covering this up, in my view, is because if his seat is vacated, either by resignation or death, that means that the Democrat governor of Kentucky, who is Andy Beshear and a potential Democrat presidential nominee in the next election, could appoint and probably would appoint a Democrat to fill his seat until the November election, further reducing the Republican majority in the Senate. So nobody knows what's going on. Now, the current majority leader, John Thune, says that he talked to McConnell shortly after he got into the hospital, and he sounded fine and can't wait to get back. But nobody's heard any verification of that, and there has been absolutely no word from his office or anybody else in the Senate.
That sounds like North Korean. That you could have a situation where a key representative in a sensitive position is disappeared and nobody can tell you whether he's alive or dead and you would believe them.
I agree, Matt. I think it's terrible. I think it's why the words cover up were invented. This looks like a cover up to me. You can't get a word out of his office. No staffer will say anything about it. Whatever happened to transparency and openness? This smells.
What do you think, very briefly, Marion McCone?
Well, Very briefly, I'll tell you something even more North Korean, is that his wife, Elaine Chao, flew to China 3 days after her husband was admitted to hospital and has remained there. Figure that one out. I think it's extraordinary. On the Republicans introduced a law very, very briefly that would try and block Andy Beshear from making his choice. The choice would be limited to three Republican candidates. I suspect he'll fight that, and this is going to be a big old mess. I think this will end up in the courts.
Mary McKeown, Cal Thomas, thank you. Listener says, FIFA should have said no to Trump. Why didn't they? Well, because FIFA is regarded by many people as being deeply corrupt as well. And its boss, Gianni Infantino, has become a figure of complete derision amongst many football fans. Another listener pointing out, Cal took a stab there against the Irish team not making it to the World Cup. But let's put it this way, the United States were there because they were the hosts. They usually do qualify, but they haven't been any further than we've been. We've been to one quarterfinals in 1990. The Americans were in 1994. And another listener making the very interesting point about Balogun, the player that Trump went to bat for. Of course, he was the type of person who, if Trump had had his way, wouldn't have been able to get citizenship in the United States. The only reason that he's an American citizen is that his parents, who were both from Nigeria and who were living in England, were not allowed to board a flight because his mother was so far pregnant, it was regarded as not safe to fly back to England. And therefore, he was born in New York. And then after he was born, he went back to live in and grow up in London. But because of his birthright to the United States, that's why he played for the country in this World Cup. The irony of it all.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.